Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
16 minutes past 10 now. It sounds like a pretty glamorous job being a publicist in Los Angeles promoting a host of global stars from the entertainment industry. But in reality, it takes a lot of hard work and determination to succeed in that world, and even more so if you're a blow-in from Ireland. Now, Natalie Gaday is an Irish woman who headed to LA with big dreams about 10 years ago, and now she runs her own publicity company, NMG Relations, and they look after names like Nicki Minaj and Ariana Grande, if you don't mind. And she's home for a quick holiday, so we couldn't resist getting her into studio today to tell us about the exciting life in LA. OMG. NG.
Hello.
You are Natalie. How are you?
I'm great.
Now, do you remember the last time we spoke?
Barely.
Yeah, oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
Barely. Yeah.
Were you busy or hammered?
A bit of both.
Yeah.
Had a few drinks. No, I wasn't hammered at all.
You were up to your eyes.
I was working, yeah. And I was the gatekeeper to that party, so I had everyone waiting while I was on the phone.
Was it the Grammys party? And you were on the red carpet, and your sister listens to us, and she said,
yes.
My sister, she was so proud. My sister is on, and rightly so, is on the red carpet.
Yep.
So you were looking after the artist, and yet you still took a call from us.
Yeah.
That was very generous.
It was really later in the day, because we had been to the Grammys that day at like between 12 and 3. Well, 12 and 5 actually. And then by the time I talked to you guys, it was like 2 a.m. So
yeah, that was late.
It was later.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Belatedly. But you did great. You took us right to the heart of the party, which
did
was
I
great.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. After I hung up, I was like, what just happened?
So where are you from? Tell us about yourself. You're originally from Dublin, obviously.
I'm from Dublin. I'm from Hartstown.
Yeah.
Born and raised. Went to school. I went to Mount Sackville.
Oh, did
I
you?
I went to Cabra College first, actually.
Yeah, keep going, yeah.
And then and then Mount Sackville. And I went to college, a Pulse Recording College there in the city. And while I was there, I interned at BMG with Freddie Middleton.
Oh, remember Freddie Middleton.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good old Freddie.
Yeah.
So it was great. I was actually their first intern.
Okay.
They had never had interns before, and my sister helped me pen a letter to him, letting him know how interested in the business
I was. So music promotion was the thing you were interested in doing, was it?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I didn't know exactly what area I wanted to work in. I just knew I wanted to be in it. So when I went to college, I studied sound engineering and music technology.
Oh, right, okay.
And then when I went to college in States, I did live engineering and music business.
So why did you go to LA then to go to college?
It was just, well, I wanted to learn you can never know enough. So I wanted to learn about the music industry in the US.
Sure.
And the best way to do it was to be there.
Yeah.
So,
I went.
I went one-way ticket. Like, thinking back on it, I don't know how I did it. Like, all of a sudden, I was like, I'm moving to LA. I've been saying it since I was like 12 years old.
Right.
And then the day came, and of course, it was a bit of drama. I couldn't find, when I got to the airport, I was at immigration and I didn't have my paperwork with me. So Niamh, my sister, had to speed back to Hartstown. And I must have walked through the arrivals hall like 15 times because the guys were like escorting me around so I could try to get my life.
Sure.
And so, of course, a bit of drama. I arrived a day late and my friend picked me up at the airport. It was actually my friend from here. Mm. His aunt lives in Orange County. So when I had gone on vacation to kind of like scope it out and see if I could actually make the move, she was like, well, come and stay with me until you find your feet and, you know, I can teach you how to drive. And
yeah. Handy to have that, wasn't it?
It was. It was. I mean, I couldn't imagine doing it without her, looking back on it. But yeah, as soon as I got there, I just hit the ground running.
Okay, so you got your college under your belt. You got to get into the LA scene and live life and trip the life. Fantastic. But then it was time to get to work.
Yes.
So when did you start working in publicity and working with the big names?
It would have been 2006 when I started working.
Yes.
I was there for 2 years going to college and getting everything together before I actually started. And my first job was with Epic Records. They hired me straight out of my internship. And I was an assistant in the publicity department. I was actually publicity and A&R. And about a year into it, my boss in publicity ended up leaving, which turned out to be great for me because I was handed a lot of responsibility that I probably wasn't prepared for.
But you spoofed your way through.
Oh, you have to. You
so
know
I'm absolutely ready, willing, and I then went home with a bottle of wine going,
what am I doing?
Yeah,
pretty much. So, Yeah, as soon as he left, then my boss in New York, because all of the main offices for record labels are in New York, and the satellite offices are in LA, which is kind of weird, but... So I was the only one on the West Coast in publicity, so I had to take on a lot of responsibility. And I think the biggest names I worked with at first were like, I worked with Duran Duran, which was funny.
Yay. A whole generation going, really?
Yes.
And all these kids going, what's a Duran
like,
Duran?
Like, what is that?
Yeah.
And then Incubus, which I loved. And then Jennifer Lopez, Sean Kingston. They were some of the first ones.
Great.
So... I think working with that caliber of artists off the bat kind of helped set me up for the rest of my career.
And what sort of things as your career progressed, what sort of things were you doing? I mean, I know you worked with Maroon 5 and Kelly Clarkson and Avril Lavigne. Mm-hmm. Doing what?
Well, basically, our job is to take the artist's work and present it to the public. So we help, you know, architect their... we'll say career.
Career path, but their flight path, almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, like... we're in charge of their voice to the public.
Okay.
So they have a message they want to send, and we help them communicate it to everybody. So
and you, did you say you do a bit of an A&R as well? So would you be kind of scouting?
You know, no.
No.
At first I was, but I wasn't really into it that much.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great, and I ended up managing an artist as well, and we got him his record deal, and we did a whole bunch of stuff, and people would submit records to me for him and stuff like that. But I just really enjoyed publicity and really, because it's so creative.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can really do outside of the box things.
So when you were working, for example, at the Clive Davis pre-Grammy Gala, which is a huge event in your part of the world, but we wouldn't know much about that. But tell us what you'd have done at that and why it's so important.
It's pretty much the start of Grammy season. It's everyone respects Clive Davis. He's an absolute genius.
Who is he?
Clive?
Yeah.
He's the president of RCA
at
the time, but he's the one who discovered Whitney Houston.
Right. So he has form and a reputation.
Yeah, a lot. And his party, he has it every year, and it's like literally the creme de la creme of like artists attend. And not everybody gets an invite. You have people crashing. Like you'll have established artists crashing,
and you have to
tell them like, no, you're not on the list. I'm sorry. Like,
and what's your role? Is your role to say you're not on the list, or?
Part of it is.
Yikes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's great saying that to some idiots you have coming in, but most of the time, you know, you want to help everybody, and you understand why these people want to be there, because it's a room full of people who could essentially help them.
Okay.
So you have to take that into consideration as well. But for us, I mean, we ran the whole party, so we organized it, organized the red carpet, made sure the press was there. We did the seating charts, which is very political.
Yeah, tell me about the seating, because we're talking Jay-Z, Beyonce stuff here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to decide who sits beside.
Yeah, where everybody sits. And it takes a while. It actually takes longer than you would think.
What are you worried about in the seating?
People being annoyed with you, like, why am I on the third table from the left at the back? Why am I not in the front row? And
yeah, that's going to cause a row.
People will leave. And then you have some artists who have to leave early because there's so many Grammy parties and commitments that they have to go to different events that one night, and you can't have somebody in the front row leaving an hour into the event because it will kind of like disrupt Clive, and he does a lot of speeches. So
okay, one of those, and what are people like Jay-Z and Beyonce like to deal with?
Really, I won't say easy, but they know what they're doing, you know? So it's like when you're, like, for instance, on the Grammy red carpet when Beyonce came in, she came in like at the very last second when it's literally like...
everyone's sitting.
No, this is like right before the red carpet closes. So people are panicked trying to get their picture taken before they go inside, because once the broadcast starts, the doors are locked and you're not getting in.
It's over.
Yeah. So, but she just waltzes in. Her bodyguard, Julius, who everybody knows, he's huge. He just kind of like pushes everybody aside, and everyone's like, oh, Beyonce. Yeah. And she just strolls in. But they know what they're doing. And when you come in, you just say, hi, thanks so much for being here, and I'm going to show you to your seat. And that's kind of it.
Okay. So they're professional rather than warm.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because I've often found in my smaller experience, you know, on the Late Late Show and here, is with regards to big names.
Yeah.
Is that the bigger the name, the smaller the ego.
Yes.
And the smaller the name, the bigger the ego.
Absolutely.
Is that something you'd agree with?
Oh, my God. 100%. Yeah. You would have some artists who are just literally like out of the back almost nowhere. And they'll come in and they'll have like this attitude, and you have to kind of let them know, like, people are going to, like, people see through you. And if you have this type of attitude, trust me, no one's going to want to help you get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
So bring it, get it together.
Is it a tough world to inhabit? Is it in terms of competition, promotion? Is it, you know, is it dog eat dog?
As far as on the artist side?
Oh, both, on yours and theirs.
Yeah, it would be, especially for the artist, just considering in this day and age, you know, you can really get your music out there so much easier than you could back in the day when you would have to submit it and go through all the proper channels. Now you can just throw things up on SoundCloud and on your social media pages. Exactly. So you have to find a way to rise above some of the noise, as you would say.
Exactly.
So you really have to not only have a wonderful product, which is your art, but also do creative campaigns and really focus on your fan base and understand who they are, and don't give up.
And social media is critical for you guys, for the artists.
I
mean, that's where it's at nearly.
It
in
is.
Terms of, rather than records, CDs, all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, they say, what we say now is music sells everything but music.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
Because I hear a lot of people saying that they have to go to gig now. People have to perform concerts because that's where the money is.
Absolutely.
It's not in, everyone's just stealing music off the internet now, so no one's buying anything.
Nobody will buy it. And it's funny because, you know, you have the streaming services now, which a lot of people are saying is the future of music and music sales, where you pay $10 to $20 a month and you get unlimited tracks. But even then, people still don't feel the need to have to pay for it because they've gotten used to just downloading
free. It's become a thing.
Yeah.
You set up your own business. How's it going?
It's going great.
Great. Who are you representing, or what are you doing with it?
Republic Records is one of my main clients, which is Ariana, Nicki Minaj, and, you know.
She's here this week.
That's right.
The report in one of the papers said that when she turned around and had her back to the audience, every seat in the house could see her, including right down the other side.
I'm sure.
She has extraordinary attributes.
She absolutely does. She has great assets, that's for sure.
I mean, I was looking at the picture today, and the lads were at their desk. I was at this table going, what the? Like,
yeah.
It's superhuman.
It is.
Isn't it?
It is. And she's gorgeous. You know, the first time I met her, we were at the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Yeah.
And she was in the middle of her taping, and me and her manager were standing watching her on the monitor. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh my God, her sleeve on her top had just opened and was hanging down and like flapping.
Yeah.
So we had to stop the taping.
Yeah.
I had to run over there because her wardrobe wasn't with her. And I was literally in her breasts. Like, hello, nice to meet you.
What a waste.
I know, of all the people.
It's
like, but we'll talk afterwards. Yeah, I'm just going to fix your top. And she's looking at me like, okay.
Yeah, that's how you had to roll, isn't it? Good Lord, that's quite the story.
But she's gorgeous.
What's Katy Perry like? I mean, you worked with her. I quite like her too.
She is. She's brilliant. She's a mentor, but she...
I haven't heard that word for ages.
You know, I probably haven't used that name.
Yeah. I just love her creativity.
Yeah, no, she's brilliant. It's actually crazy because my boss who hired me at EMI when I worked at Katie's label.
Yeah.
She actually had worked with her from before when she was like a singer-songwriter signed to Columbia Records.
Right.
And when Jelly left to go to Capitol, she stole Katie's masters and brought them over there and was like, we have to sign her over here. I believe in her, you know. And then they changed. She met Chris Anacute, who's one of my close friends, in her A&R, and he introduced her to Max Martin. And then, you know, she turned into Katy Perry.
And she turned into Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Well, you're leading a very exotic life. Are you happy over in there?
Oh, God, yeah.
You love it.
Every morning I wake up and I'm just like, yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's exciting. And your sister's with you today?
There she is. And Ellie, my niece.
She's gorgeous little
child. Isn't she gorgeous?
She must be, what, 18 months? No, you're lovely too, but we're talking about the child. It's not all about you, Mammy.
Neve's like, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. No, it's a twofer. You're both gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Natalie, thanks so much for coming to see us.
Thanks for having
Let's
me.
Stay in touch because
Absolutely.
We enjoyed our chat the last time and it got us really nice and close to all the action. And it was really enjoyable to have a little look through the what's happening in the world there in LA. So thank you so much for your time
thanks
today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, see you next time.